Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And man oh man, do we have a show for you tonight, including a very special feature we regularly do here on the podcast. DM berates the Count for his terrible choice in movies.
But first, the random crap.
Absolutely.
It's all you.
Oh yeah, it's all me, isn't it? You're absolutely
yeah.
Right. Well, this is something I actually meant to complain about 4 months ago.
Oh.
But I forgot to, and then I got the chance to because it happened again with the film's video release. And I'm just going to say, I'm not really comfortable with the concept of, like, 5 second spots for things, and I'll tell you why. When Pirates of the Caribbean was coming out, they wanted so many ads for it on the air. They're like, well, we're not going to pay for all these 30-second ads. Let's have 5 second ads. But Disney's The Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides takes more than 5 seconds to say. Like, just saying the title would have eaten up more than their allotted ad time. So they started contracting it in a way I don't approve of. They started saying in the ad, you know, this weekend, go to see Disney Pirates. And that's all they said. Disney Pirates. So as you can imagine, I'm just like, no, you can't say that little. That's going,
that
that's taking
any pirate movie that Disney has ever made.
That's my point. You're not specific enough. They assume too much familiarity with what's going on in the world. Like, we have to know that there's a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie by Disney for that to make the least amount of sense. So no, I don't think it's cool to be that to assume we're that familiar with your product, Disney. Yes, I did know what they were talking about, but they had no way of knowing that.
Well, everybody knows what they're talking about, because it's Disney.
It is super popular movie, Pirates of the Caribbean 4 on Stranger Tides, but still. All right. Oh, and someone did a great expose on Cracked about how it was ripped off of Monkey Island. So good for the internet figuring that one out. All right. That's my one. Two, I actually heard good Transformers news. And that's not an oxymoron.
Is the good news there won't be another movie?
No, they're doing two more back to back. Now, so they film one.
Right.
I know. It's going to be awful. And then it's going to be like the two Pirates of the Caribbean movies, but with Transformers. It's going to be a nightmare. But here's the upside. No more Shia LaBeouf.
Okay.
And the new lead might be Jason Statham.
Oh!
You understand why I feel it was worth covering for the show.
Oh, my God.
Now
I want to believe that's the case, and I don't think that'll happen.
No, no. That's just who they're talking to.
No.
There might be a cultural uproar demanding more Shia LaBeouf. Although after that last movie, I don't see how that's possible.
I just don't see Statham in a Transformers movie.
Well, I don't know if you know this about him, but he does like money. So.
Well, who doesn't? But
exactly.
Still, I think that's an odd choice.
It is an odd choice, but you know what? I'm hoping it's not just a thing that they've said to get us to stop hating on it for 5 minutes. And is, in fact, you know, what they're planning to do with the series. Okay, one last piece of news, then we'll motor along to the actual show.
I remembered something.
Oh, you have random crap. Go.
Yeah, okay. This happened to me last night, actually. I went out to a bar, and we walked into this place, and it was empty because it was a Monday night. Yeah, that's right.
I was drinking on a Monday night. You want to make something out of it? Shut up.
Drinking alone.
There wasn't tea in the beginning of that story.
We walk into the bar and there's this booth being occupied by two guys dressed in Ghostbusters coveralls.
Nice.
And a third guy sitting between the two Ghostbusters, and they're being filmed by a small camera crew.
Oh, are they pretending to be Ghostbusters for a short
no.
film?
No. It's better than that.
Okay, what is it?
I go up to the bar, and first of all, I ask the bartender, like, are you open? And he's like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And he's like, oh, it's Much. They're producing some Halloween show about haunted pub.
Oh.
And so they were in, and the bar that I was in is supposed to be, quite haunted, and so the Toronto Ghostbusters was there with a medium filming their Halloween show.
That is great. Oh.
So be sure to look for that in the coming weeks.
And are you going to be in the background?
I don't know. Like, the place is pretty empty, but at one point they get up and leave the booth and walk into the back. And so, and we were sitting at the bar, so they walked right past us.
Oh man, we're so taping this.
So I don't know if I'm there or not in the background.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. all right, and the other two pieces of news we had was, one, there's a new television season, and I've been gradually watching the show. Still haven't watched American Horror Story, but we're on top of it. Also,
well, they don't premiere in Canada until Halloween. So.
Exactly, so we're going to get around to it, don't worry. But the other thing is, yes, we are aware that there has been a new season of The Walking Dead, but the Dive Mistress is continuing her boycott of the show because of its terribleness, and I just haven't gotten around to watching it yet. Despite, you know, I mean, the fact that I have no taste and will watch it eventually. Although I hear it's terrible.
Well, this is just, this is the thing. I thought that I should probably watch at least the first episode of the new season. You know, just like...
That is very magnanimous of you.
Well, you know, it's this sort of sense of duty, right? Like, I have an obligation to watch it.
Of course.
And then a friend of mine, he said that he saw it and hated it. He said it was 63 minutes. Of awfulness.
It's 63 minutes?
And he likes The Walking Dead. He loves the comic book. He's a fan of the show, and he hated the season premiere.
Wow, because the reviewer I read is someone who, like me, has taste and, you know, so despises the show. So, wow. That is saying something. That even fans hate it now. Ugh.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just psyched. Okay, I'm actually kind of really a little excited to see it now.
Really? Because
of Schadenfreude.
No, but that's taking joy in the other's misery, not your own.
No, I'm just saying it's going to eventually lead to misery when the show fails. So, you know, yay. But you're right. It is more sick than Schadenfreude when I'm experiencing. All right, so...
masochistic, I would say.
I think just masochistic, yeah.
All right, just masochistic, yeah.
But
we're not going to go there.
No, we're really not. The other funny thing, though, is that apparently Jeremy Sisto and Alan Tudyk are on a TV show.
What?
I know!
Informed.
I had no idea. And, like, these are two actors we regularly cover here on the show, so you'd think someone would have told us. But no. There's a show where Jeremy Sisto, I haven't seen it yet, but apparently he's a dude, and he's got a teenage daughter, and for some reason they move out to purgatory, and his wacky neighbor is Alan Tudyk.
Oh,
it's called Subpurgatory. See, purgatory and suburbia, subpurgatory.
That's terrible.
It is terrible. Yeah, it is terrible. But, you know, it's getting good notices. Getting good critical notices, which, by the way, I'm planning to start reusing the term from the 20s before reviews came in. Critical notices.
All right. Okay. So I guess we're going to have to add that one too.
Yeah.
To
it's in no way genre, but, you know, we will check it out just because two actors we love are working now.
Yes.
All right. So I think we're ready to move on. Much as I've been trying to delay the inevitable. It's time to start talking about this movie.
Oh, God. Okay, so our first movie of the evening was The Count Selection.
Oh, God, no.
And you had actually, you wanted to watch this a few weeks ago. You would try to get me to agree to seeing this film, and I said no then.
And that week
I
came up with a...
my guns.
That week you came up with a better thing to offer, but this week you were too lazy to come up with another suggestion, so you're like, oh, what the hell. Let's watch Resurrection County.
Oh, my God. Okay. Here's your synopsis. Four friends are camping in the Arkansas backwoods, minding their own business, when an unfortunate encounter with a redneck hick leads to violence. Lots of pointless violence. Kidnapping, rape, torture. These are just some of the delights in store for the sorry audience unlucky enough to see this movie.
I was going to say, wow, that was mean, but you can't be mean enough to this movie. It can't be done.
This like,
why?
It starts out all right.
Yeah, like this.
And then very quickly devolved into meaningless crap.
Oh my god, there's just no point to any of it. There's no message, there's no... They keep throwing religious stuff at us like it's trying to have meaning, but it doesn't.
No,
like the patriarch of the villainous group of killbillies is like also the minister for the area. And there's a cop who might go, you know, break the record for dumbest movie cop ever. And that's saying something. There's some dumb movie cops out there.
So what happens is these two couples are camping and they're ATVing.
Yeah.
Use it as a verb.
All-terrain vehicling?
In this, what is supposed to be, I guess, a national forest?
Yeah.
Or a national park. And the two, the girls are back at the campsite, and the guys are gone off on their ATVs, and they get lost. And so they pull up to this guy's trailer to ask him for directions. And, of course, the hillbilly who lives in the trailer, he's probably been smoking meth all day, and he's all fucked up. And proceeds to just antagonize these two poor guys, to the point where someone ends up getting killed.
Yeah.
And then it just devolves from there, because back at the campsite, the park ranger keeps coming around to check on the women. And as it turns out, to nobody's surprise, the park ranger is not, in fact, a park ranger. He's just one of the killbillies.
Well, he might also be a park ranger. Like, that's nebulous. Yeah.
But still, and so, yeah, what happens next is it turns out that there's this large group of killbillies who all follow the pastor who seems to have an agenda of mindless violence.
mindless violence and cooking meth to support their lifestyle.
That the meth part, that's me making assumptions.
Oh, no. They full on say that there's the guy who lives at the trailer who might have let them go, but things are escalated when his cousin, who is literally coming back from, you know, smoking meth that he was supposed to be selling, they flat out say, and he's tweaking so hard that he's the one who kicks off the violence.
Right.
Yeah, they full on say that he is on meth when that happens.
Really?
Yeah, it's just hard to pay attention to this movie.
That flew right by me, and I just assumed meth anyway. Although their teeth were too nice to be meth.
Well, yeah, but you know, this is not a big enough budget movie that they could afford dental appliances. Not that kind of a movie.
But anyway, so these killbillies, all they do is they torture and rape and subject their victims to all kinds of...
All manner of indignities.
Yes. For no other reason than the fact that they love to hurt people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't have a problem with violent movies. It's obvious from the show. But usually sometimes it has a point, yes. But also in other films that are kind of like, well, torture porn movies.
Yeah.
Where it's just violence for violence sake. There's still, it doesn't have the sort of bleak nihilism that you get with films like Resurrection County and another really shit one, the name of which I've completely forgotten.
Which one are you talking about?
Oh, I don't know. It was just like this. Mindless, pointless, and just god-awful from beginning to end.
I'm going to have to search the archives, because I've seen so many mindless, pointless, god-awful from beginning to end movies that...
But, like, there's no hope for the victims.
No. And I got to say, if ever there's a movie that does have a message, it's this one, you know, which is, you've got to close the deal. Okay? If something has gone wrong with some killbillies and you find yourself with the upper hand for whatever reason, kill them all.
Yeah.
Like, kill all of them right away and worry about the consequences later. Okay? Because you're not going to have that upper hand again unless you do and screw it up a second, third, and fourth time. These are characters who were not great at closing the deal, is guess what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Among their other flaws. But there's actually a weird problem with this movie in that the guy in the town they meet, like, suggests they drive through Killbilly Central as if he's trying to set them up to be murdered.
Yeah.
But then it turns out that, you know, murdering passers-by is not something these killbillies are into. And in fact, they're kind of annoyed when people, you know, horn in on their drug smuggling.
No, they murder people who camp in the park.
Do they?
They're anti-tourists. They say that out loud in the movie. They don't like tourists.
They don't like tourists, but I didn't get the sense that there had been... Well, this is one of the other film's other problems, is, like, the larger plot doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, the idea that there's a big family of drug-dealing hillbillies and a sheriff who mysteriously disappeared, and then no one ever looked into it. You know? Like, that kind of thing. The larger plot doesn't make a lot of sense, but I never got the sense from the plot that they had actually been murdering tourists. I just got the sense that they didn't like, you know, they didn't like the tourists and tried to discourage it. But I never got the sense that a lot of people had gone missing in the area or anything.
Yeah, because, well, at the end of the movie, more tourists show up to go hiking, and that same hillbilly park ranger, he's like, oh, fucking tourists, and he's just going to kill them all.
Well, no, he says, be sure you stay, you know, on the paths. And I thought he was just trying to keep them in line so they don't wander off into killbilly territory and get murdered.
No, because that's exactly the same thing he said to the other tourists that
But then they strayed off the path, you see what I'm saying, and got lost.
I know, I'm inclined to believe that
that's just something they do, yeah.
For the fun of it.
I can't believe we're actually debating interpretations of the movie Resurrection County. This is a surprise. Okay, but I will give the film this. It gave me a great article because I got to write an article about the dumbest Chiron in the history of Chirons.
Okay, yeah.
Which is the very, like, the first image of the movie is them driving through up to Resurrection County, right? So there's this big sign on the side of the road that says Resurrection County. It pans left and a Chiron comes up that says, somewhere in Arkansas. And I'm like, yeah. You just told me where in Arkansas! Resurrection County!
I know, I had the exact same reaction.
Like, what?
Somewhere.
Somewhere? We know where it is. If that were a real place, I could point it out to you on a map. Oh my god, I thought that was pretty funny. Alright. Okay, I think we have other movies to discuss, so let's stop talking about this god-awful movie no one should ever see.
Yeah. And we'll move on to our second feature of the evening, a film called Isolation. And this is an Irish film, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
With a lot of UK money behind it. Dan has agreed to let John experiment with his dairy cows. John injects them with a fertility drug, but it works just a little too well. One of Dan's cows gives birth to a monstrous calf, which is itself pregnant. But the fetuses are malformed, horrible things, with only one purpose in life, to reproduce.
And I gotta say, here's the most fun I got out of this movie. Finding out that even though Gaelic is kind of a dead language, they had come up with a word for cinema. Because at the beginning, there's this wonderful thing where it says, you know, produced in co-production with the, you know, Cinema Fund of Ireland. And then it's like, but then it says, under it, it says that in Irish. So produced with the Cinema Fund of Ireland, then it's like, and I'm like, one of those words is fund, and one of those words is cinema. And I'm like, wow. Even though that language has kind of been dead since before cameras were invented, they still came up with a new word for cinema, and it's not just cinema. I like, way to go, people who still speak Gaelic.
Gaelic isn't a dead language.
I'm just saying, it's not really developing anymore. It's just what it is.
Well, obviously it is developing because they have a phrase for cinema fun in Gaelic.
I guess what I'm trying to say is
about Irish.
I'm trying to say that I was happy to have my notion that Gaelic was a dead language disabused by the film.
Okay. That's the only thing you liked about this movie? I enjoyed it.
No, well, that's not the only thing. I said that was the best thing about the movie. No. Again, that seems meaner than I actually feel about the movie. It was fine. Like, it was kind of, you know, as generic as this kind of movie can be, but I still had a good time with it. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's not like, I mean, you know, it's an isolated farm and they're hunting this monster. So basically it's alien.
Oh, it is. It really is alien, right down to, you know, what the monster does and how the monster looks. It has an exoskeleton, for God's sake.
But, you know, I liked it for what it was. And like the little monster fetuses were really disgusting.
Oh God, the little worms with exoskeletons? Yeah, that was like good creature design, effective filmmaking techniques. But the thing is, it's like the problem with a movie like this is, again, I don't want to go back to saying it is what it is again, but it's like this is a film without any depth at all. You know, like, it's not like it's actually saying anything about genetic engineering any more than, you know, the films where radiation made giant mosquitoes were really saying anything about atomic experimentation.
Well, it's just, they're saying that genetic engineering is
they're saying we're uncomfortable with a new science, so let's say it makes monsters. But as long as we've had new sciences, there's been that exact story. You know, mm-hmm. Frankenstein is one of those.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just this time it's tailored to bovine growth hormones and fertility treatments.
Yeah. And, you know, that is something that, you know, that is something that deserves to be critiqued. I just think if you really have strong feelings about that, you can come up with a more convincing argument against it than what if it made the alien.
I don't know. I think I probably enjoyed this movie more than you did.
I think you did. But I did think it was really, like, better acted than you would assume for a movie, than you'd think a movie like this might require. Like, I thought it was really well acted. I enjoyed that quite a bit. I thought all the performances were strong. Like I said, I love the creature design. I love I really like the setting.
Well, it's a well-made film. So I think you were probably expecting some low budget trash.
Oh, I was probably.
Yeah. And you didn't get that.
So I was disappointed by its.
Terms with it yet.
I was disappointed with its higher quality.
It had a lot of money behind it.
It really did.
It had a fair bit of funding, and it's on screen. You can see it.
Oh yeah, and some part of me wants to say, well, if you got that kind of money, maybe you should be being a little more ambitious. But at the same time, you're absolutely right. I shouldn't expect so much from movies. It's just these guys made a perfectly accomplished genre movie. There's no reason I should be so hard on them. So you're right. Absolutely. I'm changing my opinion on it right now. Absolutely check out Isolation. If you like films whose titles in no way represent the content of the film.
For the life of me, I can't figure out why this movie is called that.
Honestly, I feel like in the, you know, the low budget, like whoever distributes low to mid budget horror in Ireland had like three film canisters and they didn't have final titles for any of them. So they just randomly assigned words. And it's like, you'll get another movie called Treacherous. You know, and another movie called Fated. And there's just. It'll be completely random because this film could have been called any of those things and it would have made as much sense.
Right.
So, yeah. No, terrible title for, you know, a really completely competent creature feature.
Right.
What do you call it? There's nothing that's not predictable about this movie. You know, there's nothing fresh. There's nothing you haven't seen before. But it all does it well enough to absolutely demand a recommendation.
Very good.
See, I turned it around at the end.
Yeah.
All right. So now can we talk about the movie I really want to talk about?
Yes. Our third and final movie of the evening is Returner.
Oh, my God.
And I saw this one on Netflix, and so I mentioned it, and then you got really excited because you've been wanting to see it for a while but kept forgetting.
Exactly. I had completely forgotten this film. Like, I saw it on Netflix ages ago, like, the listing. And I'm like, oh, I've got to watch that. But then I kept forgetting to watch it because, you know, it's Netflix. There's freaking 50,000 things I need to watch on there.
Right.
So I finally get around to watching it. Oh, my God, did it not disappoint. But I'll let the dive, Mr. Synopsize.
Millie, a girl from the end of the 21st century, travels back in time to the present to stop the alien war that devastated the planet from ever taking place. She's fortunate enough to enlist the help of Miyamoto, a crack assassin. But her luck quickly runs out when she's too late arriving at the first alien landing site, preventing the downed craft from being taken away. Now she and Miyamoto are in a race against time to stop the war from happening.
And that's only like, that's the barest description of what's going on.
Well, the thing is, I don't want to give too much away.
No, we can't give too much away. This has to be seen.
This movie was like, so over the top.
I think the word you're looking for is amazing.
No, it's great. I really enjoyed it.
Oh my God, so good.
Yeah, so you had this girl who travels back in time to stop the alien war from happening. And she runs into this guy and gets him to help her. And he's on his own vengeance quest right now and doesn't really have a lot of time for her and her, like, weird stuff about the future and aliens and all the rest. He doesn't believe her. Because all he wants to do is just hunt down and kill the guy who murdered his best friend.
Yep.
And then that guy ends up getting involved in the alien conspiracy.
Does he ever? And can I just take a minute to talk about that actor for a second?
Okay, I can't remember his character name.
His character name is not important.
Okay.
It might be something like Matsumoto, or it does, not important what his name is. He's the villain, and he's amazing. Oh God, I don't. Here's the funny part. So I'm watching this movie, and I'm enjoying. And it had the weird thing of having two actors that I knew, and I'll tell the story quickly. It's like I'm watching the actor, and I'm like, who is that playing the main character? And I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. It's Takeshi Kaneshiro, the only Japanese actor I can identify by name on site, I guess, except for Takeshi Kitano. But anyway, wow, they're both named Takeshi. But anyway, because he was the guy who did the voice and likeness of the samurai in the video game Onimusha. So I can recognize him on sight. But I'm watching the other guy, and the guy playing the villain, I'm like, this guy is fantastic. He's just such a wonderful, he's got such a great physicality to his villainous. It's like he's almost like the guy who played Majima in Like a Dragon. And so I look it up, and it is the same actor.
Oh my God.
Because he didn't have the eye patching, a completely different hair, so I didn't recognize him. But yeah, it's the same actor, essentially doing the same kind of performance.
Well,
you know what? When your well is that good, when your well is paying off that much, go back to that well, okay?
A mobster bad guy, he's your go-to man.
No, but not only that, a wonderfully over-the-top mercurial mobster bad guy.
Absolutely. No, I'm with you 100%.
He was fantastic. And let's not, and it's like, for what's not the heaviest movie in the world, right? Because it's not. It's a pretty light movie. And I guess this is one of the things about Japan where it's like, you know, they mess around with you and they don't mind, like, going dark. When I found out exactly what it is, like, what this mobster was into, like, mm-hmm. And what had happened to the guy's best friend? I'm like, oh my God, isn't this just movie about aliens?
Really wasn't expecting that.
That was much darker than I was expecting. I'm like, oh. But yeah, this was not a film that had it in its mind to mess around.
Yeah.
Oh God, and yeah, in my little synopsis that I wrote up, it was that that Millie, you know, goes back in time, but she's assisted by a wonderful hitman straight out of a John Woo movie by way of The Matrix, but hampered by her imperfect historical records, and the fact that most of the films being referenced here didn't survive until the end of a alien war.
Oh my God.
Because there are a number of plot elements drawn from other films here that, by referencing which films, I would be spoiling plot development. So I'm not going to. But
thanks for bringing it up.
No. It's when people get there. It's not like you can miss the references. But yeah, this is that weird, it's not really, it's almost a pastiche where it's like, I liked movie A, B, C, and D. Let's make a movie that's all of them at the same time.
Yeah, but they pulled it off.
They completely pulled it off. It is such an accomplishment. And it's like, this is from 2002, and I'm like, what is wrong with America that they haven't gotten on the ball to remake this thing?
Well, because they would start bogging it down with all this crap.
Yeah, you're right, there's not a lot of, except for both characters' goals winding up the same place, the guy he wants to kill ending up with her conspiracy, right? So, other than that, there's, like, no subplots, no superfluous crap, you know? No tacked-on romantic subplot, no fated people designed to save the world, blah, blah, blah. No obvious comic relief character. In fact, there are very few characters in the movie.
No, because I think the movie, it's got its one story,
yeah.
And it makes the most of it.
It really does. I guess, you know, I can't speak highly enough of this movie. Like, people have to see Returner. And it's on Netflix. You don't have an excuse not to.
And also, I appreciate it's a closed loop, that like the time travel.
It is. I really
there's
like...
Part, there's the end, you sort of... And a couple points in the movie, you either go backwards or forwards in time, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
To get a fuller, more complete story.
Yeah.
Of something that happened or that's taken place. And it's great. They do it really well. It's effective.
I never get caught by things like this, but this one actually surprised me.
Yeah. It was good.
That's how well handled this was. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, and I really can't say enough good things about Returner. Like, way to go, people who made Returner. Oh, you're so not a crushing disappointment like the later Matrix movies were.
I never saw the third one.
Yeah, we're going to have to cover that for the show at some time.
No, the second one was so awful. I was done. I'm like, forget it.
Yeah, but Rob...
So angry walking out of that movie theater.
Rob offered to do our theme show talking about the matrices, so we're totally going to take him up on that.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's why we're going to do that. But yeah, this one, you'll see some Matrix stuff, and you'll see it used better than it was in the second two Matrix movies, so you won't care. And honestly, you're gonna love this villain so much. He's one of my favorite villains now. Across two movies, he's one of my favorite villains.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, he's fantastic. And
loves a good bad guy.
Oh, he's so good. And there's a person he casually shoots that is just one of the most shockingly funny things I've seen in ages. Like, I was not expecting that. You don't get a lot of, you know, murders that casual in movies. So.
That casual.
Way to go, villain in this. So, yeah, I guess I'm trying to say you have no excuse. Oh, God. And there's so much I would like to tell people about, but this film deserves to have its secrets kept.
Yes.
Oh, but it's just such a solid piece of, you know, action filmmaking. Because there's a lot of handheld action, but it never goes into Steadicam. Like, you can always tell. It's extremely well shot. You can always tell what's happening. You know, like, it's so rare that you get handheld that doesn't ruin things.
Right.
You know, it uses effects we've seen before to greater effect than we've seen them used in ages. And if the heroes are superhuman, it's because the situation requires them to be.
Yeah. And I love that, though. I mean, I like my ridiculous stylized action to be as...
Ridiculous and stylized.
Ridiculous and stylized as possible.
Okay, explain to me what is wrong with my brain that I could love it here, but hate it in Resident Evil.
That's because you have a problem with Wes Anderson.
You're thinking of Paul Anderson.
Paul Anderson. Jesus Christ, every time I make that mistake. Yes, you have a personal problem with Paul Anderson that prevents you from enjoying any Resident Evil film.
That's entirely Paul. I can't even dispute. That might be true. I mean, he's ruined a lot of movies, though, in my defense. And oh God, where did I make the point that how great is it that because he like I just love that Paul Anderson wears on his sleeve his influences, where it's like he made the film, like he loves video games, excessively loves video games. And so he made the film, what was that one in space with oh, Ben, I can't remember the guy's last name. You know, you like him, the crazy guy from all those movies.
Guy.
He was in The Mechanic. Ben Foster? Ben Foster? No.
I never ever talk about Ben
You've
Foster.
talked about him before, trust me. But anyway,
I
Ben Foster,
have
the one set in space that from last year that was basically Resident Evil in space. Him and Dennis Quaid.
Oh, Pandorum.
And Durham, yeah. Where it's like it's this weird situation with him, and this is what I love about his. I mean, he hasn't admitted this, but it's so obvious what he's doing that I kind of respect the obviousness of it. Where it's like he couldn't get the rights to make a Dead Space movie, so he made Pandorum.
Yeah.
And then this year he couldn't get the rights to make an Assassin's Creed movie, so his Three Musketeers is just like Assassin's Creed with all of the weird gear punk nonsense.
Really?
Oh yeah, they've added all like a big element of the second Assassin's Creed game was hanging out with Leonardo da Vinci, who would make you steam like gear punk devices. And this
Okay.
film has added to the Three Musketeers going to Venice and finding Leonardo da Vinci's gear punk laboratory.
Right.
It's a really stupid movie. Like not defending the movie, I just think it's weird how obviously like video game companies foil his attempts to make video game movies. So you're just like, screw it, I'll redo it, in na without using the name. So there. I'm very pleased with that.
Well, we've strayed quite
We
a
have
ways
so
from.
strayed from, but it's like I have to stray a little because I don't want to give away all the secrets.
Oh, so maybe we should just
All right,
make
okay.
a
Let's
shorter
let
show
go.
this week because last week's show was so long.
Oh my God, when I saw how long that show was, oh, I
Somebody
so
talked
apologize.
too much.
You say that like it's a new thing or a surprise. It's neither. But anyway, I will cut it short now so people don't have to listen to me gab anymore. I just want to say that we are going to, like, we have heard your demand, viewer, and we are going to be covering the things you demand, including popular new film. Do you want to say it with me?
I have no idea what you're about to say.
You have no idea what new remake that came out this week we're going to be covering.
Oh, the
Yes. The Thing is like John Carpenter's The Thing is, I think, the AVOD's second favorite movie ever, maybe favorite depending on how we're feeling about Lake Mungo that week. Right, it's in the top two of our favorite movies of all time. Of course we're going to cover the remake. What are you talking about?
I'm not gonna like it, so I'm sort of pretending like it's not there.
Yeah, that's why we didn't rush out to see it on Friday. We're not rushing to see it, but don't worry, we are going to cover it. Your emails have not gone been ignored. I'm pretending people emailed about us about this. Don't spoil my fantasy, okay?
Didn't say anything. You just outed yourself.
Yeah, but I heard your eerie, judgmental silence, okay? I knew and I took it for what it was. All right. So, let's move on to narcissism to watch. Do you have any?
I am working on that Robot Jocks piece, I
Oh,
promise.
yay!
Yes,
I am
so.
so psyched about a feminist reading of Robot Jocks.
Look forward to that.
A sociological investigation of the film Robot Jocks.
It's a critical article on the sexual politics and male discourse of Robot Jocks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy that you have put this made Robot Jocks so academic.
Well, I even hit the books for it. That's why it's taking so long.
Yay! Oh man, I love it when one of your articles has a I was gonna say glossary when I meant bibliography, because that's how out of university I am.
Glossary. glossary. Maybe it should have a glossary.
It would be great if it did have a glossary. Oh my god, but yeah, I cannot wait for your close reading of the film Robot Jaws.
Way too close reading.
It's going to be amazing. So yeah, look forward to that. You know, Castle of Argelon for all your Criminal Minds review needs, of which I'm sure you have many. Absolutely swing by for there, because apparently I've been so busy with nonsense that I haven't done anything else. So look forward to that. And coming this Christmas, a review of the best comic strip to have ever happened. Like, in the, well, not strip, but I guess the best 5-page comic story in the entire Golden Age. I've found it, and my new lifelong ambition is to see it developed into a film. And when you've seen my review of it, you're going to understand why.
And why do we have to wait till Christmas?
Because that's the earliest slot I had in my posting schedule.
You know, you can just change the schedule, right? Like,
it's more fun if I build it up for months. All right, so that's us. All this nonsense you can find over at Vargelon.com.
Be sure to visit Zombus.net. Visit the AVOD blog at theavod.blogspot.com. We have poll results I completely forgot.
What are they?
It so slipped my mind that I didn't even write them down.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
But do send us an email at theavod@gmail.com.
So we're not going to find out what the poll results are?
Well, I'm trying.
You're checking them right now. Okay.
Check while I talk, and you're ruining it.
I am ruining it, and I apologize for that. Okay, we've already mentioned Vargelon.com, Zombot.net, and the like. Really, there's any number of ways you can reach us. And,
okay, here we go. Stop talking.
Okay.
What would you most like to see cut from a fight movie? In reference to last week's show about fight movies.
Yep.
And the winner is geopolitics. Nobody wants geopolitics in their fight movie.
Ooh, take that, robot jocks.
And there was a tie for second place. People also want to see less family drama, and they want fewer cheating subplots.
Yeah. You know, and I can totally see where they're coming from, even though we kind of wanted a cheating subplot in...
In Real Steel.
Real Steel. Although that's not so much we wanted a cheating subplot as they promised us one and did not deliver it.
Yeah.
That was really more about, disappointing expectations than us specifically wanting something.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's roll the credits on another successful AVOD. Until next time, Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
Have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.